This is File 40, Cycle 3. Today's date is June 25th, 2018. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Beverly J. Kosak. She's going to talk about her experiences with Harney T, a little bit about the family, a little bit about her musical career, and anything else she wants to talk about. But first, we'll ask her, what is your name?
My name is Bev Kosak.
And how did you come to the area?
I came to the area in 1984. My husband at the time took a position at the Hotchkiss School.
What did he teach or coach?
He taught French and coached ice hockey and other sports.
And, okay. And you learned about the Harney T Company because you said you were a personal friend.
Yes, friends of Mike Harney and his wife. And Mike was looking for additional help when I needed a job in 1995.
Now, this may be a loaded question, but can you give me a thumbnail sketch of John Harney Sr.?
Oh, my goodness.
You had some wonderful stories that you told me about.
Well, he was just such a special man. He had more joie de vivre than 30 other people put together. He was so kind and so attentive to the people around him, whether it be his family or his workers or whatever, friends. I wish I had saved a copy of a letter that he had written to a friend's wife when the friend had passed away, and it was just a beautiful statement about the friend's life and the support that John had for the friend's wife going forward. It was just beautiful, and I have hunted through all my papers because he had asked me to proofread it for him, and I loved it so much I'd made a copy, and I can't put my finger on it, but
it'll show up.
Yeah, let's hope. He was such a wonderful, kind, generous man, and loved tea and loved the business.
Oh, yes, he was very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. You had a story about the strawberries.
Well, on the day that he actually passed away, he had come into work, and in his usual joyous manner, he greeted everybody. I was in the call center, and there were six of us in there, but he greeted everyone and started to pass out. He'd stopped at the roadside stand across the street and gotten fresh strawberries, and he was doling them out as he moved around the factory, saying hello to everybody. And that was his last day on this side of the fence.
But it proves what a wonderful, joyous person he
was. Amazing, right up until the end. And who knows how he was feeling that day.
Yeah.
You know, but he was one of those fellows who just, you could see him when he got out of the car. It wasn't always comfortable, but he'd just pull himself up and march on in with a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful
That
guy.
Was the persona that he wanted to show.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a story about his office and your office, and he was writing a letter and he needed a spelling.
Right. He very often, when he would be composing his various letters, he would need to... He never was comfortable with using the computer and spell check and all that sort of thing. So when he needed to double check a spelling, he would call me on the phone. And I wasn't terribly far away. I was in another room and around the corner, but with his booming voice, he would call me on the phone and we would all hear him from his office saying, "Oh, Miss Beverly, how do you spell such and such?" And, of course, I would be talking in the phone, but everybody in the room was chuckling because we all heard every word of the conversation.
Of course. And then there's a lovely custom for Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, he always came in with a big box load of carnations, long-stem carnations, and went around the factory and gave one to every woman on the staff.
That's so sweet.
And that's been carried on by Mrs. Harney and
the rest
of the family. They've still been doing that.
Could you tell me a little bit about Mike?
Mike was my immediate boss, and that he was in charge of the mail order department and the call center and so forth, is a wonderful man who has the same generous heart that his dad had. And I can remember we'd occasionally get a call, some employee would call in to say, I can't get in right now, I've been taken to the hospital with an appendicitis, or my car is broken down on the side of the road. And I don't think Mike even hung up the phone. He'd be out the door like a shot to go help whoever it was, give them a ride to work, you know, bail them out of the ditch.
Whatever.
Yeah.
How about Paul?
And Paul is also a wonderful guy. He's sort of the younger catalyst behind moving the company forward into new realms, like the bottling liquid iced tea. And I mean, that was a huge job to figure out how to do that and where to do that initially. And so they both are brilliant. His mind is clicking in that direction.
Yeah.
Mike's is trying to balance income and outgo so forth. But they both play their roles. Yeah, really beautifully.
Well,
and to watch a family working together. I was not from a family. I was an only child, so I didn't have siblings to interact with, and I didn't really have cousins my age who lived close by. So this is all fascinating for me because they can argue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd think, boy, if I had an argument like that with somebody, I'd never speak to them again.
Nope.
Next, 10 minutes and it's blown over and everybody's fine. So they work really well together. Yeah.
I got that from all of them. They had great reverence for their parents.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Big Elise and John Sr.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And that comes through in little ways, but it comes through very definitely.
Yeah.
Now, when you went to work and you started working at the house on East Main Street?
I did not work at the house on East Main Street.
You didn't?
Brenda, who was still on staff, did start there.
Yes, I got her.
I started when we were on Brook Street.
Okay, what did you do when you were at Brook Street?
Well, when I first came in, my job was in the packing room. And in the packing room, we would actually blend the tea when it was a blend, when it needed blending. We would actually blend the tea in big basins by hand. Needless to say, that operation has...
Oh yeah, now they do it differently.
...moved on. We would then pack the tea into the metal tins. I'm trying to think what we used. I guess we had the big brown pound bags at that time, but we would weigh and pack the tea. And we would label the tea. And I'm not remembering what we used for safety seals at that time, or whether we even needed them. I would think we must have done something to keep the lid on the can, but they were different. It was a different style can,
mm-hmm.
so that may have been why we didn't need them. But we'd label the tea, and then that would go on a shelf sometimes, or sometimes it would be done for a specific order because we didn't keep a lot of inventory on the shelves because we had... Well, of course, we had fewer blends.
Oh, sure.
But we also had less call for certain teas, the specialty teas, and we didn't want to pack it all up ahead.
Oh, no.
But
it's not good.
Now, of course, they have to do cans and cans and cans and cans of it because it's flying off the shelves. And so when I started, I believe there were 8 of us, and that included Mr. H, and Michael. Mm-hmm. Paul was not yet on board when I started.
He was out doing trucking or something.
Yeah. So there were eight of us. Most of us were in the packing room. A couple of, two or three gals answered the phones. I'm trying to think how that all worked out. I guess there was no distinction. There was, calls came in, and they might have been from an individual, although there were fewer individuals ordering that way at that time because it just hadn't caught on that, mm-hmm. to that extent. Most of the calls were businesses.
Yep.
So those calls were taken. The orders were written by hand and filled per order, packed up, labels filled out for UPS, the box placed in whatever corner UPS knew to come and pick it up. So it was all very, well, it was kind of fun because we all did a lot of different things.
Yep.
And I moved from just packing tea to answering the phone, and I can remember being a little nervous about that. You know, am I going to have a clue? Do I know what to write down? What do I say? So that was a step. And then I also, when they made the little shop adjoining the factory back then on Brook Street, it was just a little room, mm-hmm. I would run in and serve customers. A bell rang and we'd know there was somebody there, so I'd dash out the door and in the other door and wait on, yep. customers. And I remember one day a customer came in and wanted to taste chamomile tea. And we kept the tea in fairly good sized metal tins on the, mm-hmm. shelf. Mm-hmm. And floral herbal teas like chamomile are just by nature susceptible to critters. There's no way around it.
Yep.
Hand-picked stuff, there can be little insect eggs in it. It's just the nature of the beast.
Sure.
So I took the can off the shelf and took the lid off the can and out flew a few moths. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, and I explained all that. And the customer said, oh, that's fine. I'd like to try it anyway. So,
well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Now, when you moved to what used to be the old K&E building on North Elm Street, across, mm-hmm. from Agway, were you still doing packing, or were you into the call business?
So at that point, that is when we went to a more compartmentalized, mm-hmm. setup. And just because of the size,
oh,
of,
yeah.
the space, and so we had a call center. And there weren't many of us answering the phones at a time. I think maybe we had three of us on the phones. I just remember if anybody called in sick in the call center, it meant there were only one or two of us in there answering the phones, and it could get a little hectic.
Did you have special accounts that were just your accounts?
Not so much as a call center person, certainly not at that stage, because there were just so few of us. We just had to take whatever calls came in. As we moved on to our most recent location, mm-hmm. Accounts, the big accounts, the distributor accounts who are buying the tea and then selling it, mm-hmm. to other businesses, they really need to be handled by an individual who knows their drill.
Yeah.
So that is sort of a further compartmentalization where certain people
have accounts.
Yeah, handle certain accounts.
Now, you told me that there was a gentleman down south that you'd been talking on the phone,
yep.
to.
Harold, who had been ordering for the Charleston Place Hotel.
Charleston what?
In Charleston, South Carolina.
Charleston Place?
Charleston Place Hotel. He had been ordering tea for as long as I had been at Harney Tea. And he and I did become phone buddies, and he would either use my extension or ask for me when he called. So we had gotten to know each other and talked about our families and really had quite a little phone connection. So when I recently was traveling down that way, I gave him a call from the road and said, any chance you're working today? And he said, yeah, I'm working today. And we talked about how he missed talking to me and I missed talking to him and since my retirement. So I said, well, we would love to swing by, my friend and I, so that I can meet you in person. And I did.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And we had such a fun little reunion in person.
It was just great. You develop a relationship that way.
He was happy to see me. I was thrilled to meet him. He was pretty much just what I'd pictured.
Oh, good.
From his voice.
Sometimes you get quite a surprise.
Yes, exactly.
I know when I was talking with Brenda, she said that she had specific accounts that would always...
Brenda definitely does. Yeah. She's not a call center person. She does all of our gifts, and she does accounts that are ordering special products from us that we're doing with their labels and so forth. Some Canadian accounts, some of the big accounts like Williams-Sonoma,
Neiman Marcus, and that
kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, so Brenda has a very important, specific role in the company. Yeah.
She was fun to do.
Oh, yeah.
What did you like about your job?
Oh, golly. I loved talking with the customers on the phone. I loved talking with our individual customers. You know, I had quite a number of long-standing individual customers who would call year in and year out and want to know what we had, you know, what was the best Assam at the moment or Darjeeling or whatever. So being able to offer that kind of advice was great. And just being in the call center with other really fun people.
Oh, yeah.
And the Harneys were great. They didn't stand on ceremony. You didn't have to dress up to go to work or, in the case of Mike, even comb your hair most days. Although I did try to do that. But it was a very casual workplace in terms of demands placed on us. But there was a high standard of professional behavior. And they also really gave us the feeling that we were part of the company and important to the success of the company.
Yeah, that came out loud and clear. I did a tour several years ago with a ladies group, and the tour guide was superb. Mm. And this was still when John Sr. was alive, and I wrote a little personal note telling him how impressed I was with... And I got a note back from him. And I was so pleased. I'm sure he didn't remember that I had his kids in school, but I was so pleased that he took the time, I'm just an ordinary off-the-street person, and he took the time to write me a little note back, and I thought, yep, you haven't lost your touch.
No. He never lost that.
That was always a ton of... When did you leave the company?
Well, I left the company a week or so before Christmas. I was due to retire at the end of December of 2017. I had to retire a couple weeks early because I fell and broke my leg.
Oh.
Not good planning.
Not good timing at all.
No. So at the end of 2017, that had been planned for a little while. Mm-hmm. I knew that I was ready to step down.
And do you miss it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I definitely miss it. And I miss the connection with all the people there and all the people I knew on the phone. And it was more abrupt than I intended for it to be. I had people I was going to call up and say goodbye to and pass on to one of my colleagues. And I kind of got lost in the hubbub of being laid up. So.
Oh, you have a musical career.
I have a little bit of a musical career.
And what instrument do you play?
Nothing too high-end. I play the mandolin for the most part with
my various bands. What does a mandolin look like?
It's a small, rounded body instrument with a neck not as long as a guitar and with 8 strings that are set up in pairs and tuned identically. Each pair is tuned identically.
Alrighty. And where do you perform?
We have local musicians, and I do a couple of local fun come on by and sing along kind of things monthly. We do one at Mises Pizza in Lakeville. We do another at the Falls Village Inn. I play in a bluegrass band. We play once a month up the road in a little tavern in Copaic Falls. Our band is the Bash Bish Bluegrass Band, named after the famous waterfall up there.
Yep.
And then, of course, we have little farmers market gigs and weddings and things like that.
And you had some stories about George Kiefer and his singing.
Oh, George is wonderful. He would, he sang like a bird right up until his 90s. And my one band, kind of a folky band, would get together for practice. And he would, when he could, when he was mobile, he would come to us and join us. And when he was no longer mobile, we would have our practice at his house. And he had a few little ditties that we would encourage him to do by himself, which were priceless, absolutely priceless. He was a wonderful friend and singer. He was great.
And you said that there was a CD that he did.
We made a CD. Actually, my neighbor Jeff Nevis, who's a musician who lives up the street,
his name is
Jeff Nevis, N-E-V-E-S. He was trying out his little sort of recording equipment, which went into his computer, so it wasn't a matter of hauling around a lot of stuff. And he offered to come down and record the band. And it worked out really well, so we made a CD out of that. And we had Jeff record George singing two or three of his a cappella songs, which were just priceless.
Oh, good.
The Logger Lover's Lament and a couple of other grand ones. And we included those on the CD. So we have a great recording.
Did you make copies of the
George?
CD?
We had initially a bunch of copies to sell when we played at farmers markets, and they all went. I've got a couple of copies. I believe one of my music friends may have somehow put that on Facebook or something. I have to pursue that, but well, George's family has a copy.
I would like a copy for our archives if you can find one, and I certainly will pay for it.
Yeah, well, that's not an issue, but I will see what I can
please,
find for
because
you.
Because it would add so much to what the material we have on George.
Yeah.
And the more you get, the better it is.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to this interview that I haven't covered?
I don't believe so. I love being a resident of Lakeville. I've been in my current home here downtown since 96. My husband at the time and I had actually looked at this house when it was for sale a number of years before that, thinking that we might, since we were living at Hotchkiss, we might buy a property for the future or whatever. We didn't at that time purchase it, but when I needed to find housing after getting divorced, I asked the realtor who was helping me find a place, or I mentioned that I wished this house were still for sale because it really would have been perfect, and she said, well, I know the residents, I'll ask. Maybe they're still interested in selling, and they were.
Oh, good. Oh, it worked out well.
So I ended up here. It's a perfect house. My kids went to Salisbury Central. They could walk.
Mm-hmm.
The neighborhood was great, so handy, near the bike path.
Yep.
I can bike in to get my groceries. Perfect.
You're a lucky lady.
Very lucky.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jean.